The Cannabis Heals Me Podcast, episode 108.
You're listening to the Cannabis Heals Me Podcast, where we explore the real stories of real people who have discovered the profound healing properties of the cannabis plant in their own lives. Find more at cannabishealsme.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Cannabis Heals Me Podcast. This is your host, Rachel Kennerly, and I'm so glad you're joining me today on April the 20th. Happy 420, everyone. And in celebration of 420, we're going to have a guest back on the show who was a previous guest way back on episode 5, Delene Gilbert. She joined us to talk about her crippling postpartum depression. And today she's returning to talk about using cannabis during her pregnancy with her second child. So without further delay, let's welcome Delene to the program. Hey, Delene, thank you so much for joining me again, and thank you for coming on to share your story of cannabis use during pregnancy. I know even in legal states, it's kind of a taboo subject, so I appreciate your openness.
Yeah, oh no, I'm very comfortable with what I've done, and just being able to compare the two has been, I mean, it's my first pregnancy, I didn't medicate at all, my second I did, so man, it's night and day difference. My experience personally, and through the labor, through how my child is now. I mean, you just see completely different, even personalities. And I attribute that to cannabis use. So, I'd be happy to talk about the differences for sure. I'm actually thrilled to do that because I feel like a lot of mothers should be able to be comfortable utilizing cannabis during pregnancy, even though all of our packaging labels are supposed to say, stay away from it, pregnant mothers. So, I hope that at some point that goes away just because that instills fear and I don't believe in that kind of thing. It should be up to the mother regardless, you know, if she's pregnant or not. That's ultimately the mother's choice. And I like to think that mothers have the best interest of their child and their health, you know, in mind whenever making those decisions. And I feel like I have enough education and experience to know what's going to be best for me and what isn't. I still didn't smoke during it just because the coughing, I had some issues with the separated pubis. So those things, just baby sitting on it, coughing doesn't really help anything. It's excruciating pain. Yeah. So, the edibles is really kind of the route I took, especially in the end of it, the pregnancy process. But yeah, that was, if I didn't have cannabis during this second pregnancy, it would have been torture because I was on bed rest the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, that separation, that pubic, symphysis separation was, rough, and I'm still dealing with the repercussions of a separated pubis. So it's healing, but it's a very slow process for sure.
I think it's a little cool that you can kind of compare and contrast your first pregnancy to your second pregnancy, because you were still in that reefer madness mode during the first pregnancy. And so you've gone from that to now you were kind of embraced it afterwards because you struggle with postpartum depression. And so you were just able to continue using throughout your pregnancy. So I would like you to kind of talk about some of the compare and contrast some of the differences of pregnancy with cannabis versus without cannabis.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll touch base on the very, just to kind of review and summarize my first pregnancy. So obviously didn't use any cannabis whatsoever. And, but it was my first pregnancy and I didn't have any sickness. I didn't have any pain. It was a pretty normal pregnancy. I was very fortunate to not have any of those symptoms. I basically just grew a large belly, had the huge baby, a 10-pound baby, and everything was great. Yeah, I had a C-section, and it was planned just because, you know, my body, the anatomy just wasn't working out, you know, physiologically it wasn't going to be a good idea to try to have him naturally, even though I really, really wanted to. I just understood it was going to be the best for both of us if we just went ahead and had a C-section. With that being my first pregnancy, obviously a C-section is already like terrifying to think about. You've never gone through it, and delivery in general is a terrifying thought. So, yeah, I was pretty anxious, and once I had the baby, everything was great, you know, until we got home. Obviously, postpartum depression set in. It was a damper on my marriage, things along those lines. It wasn't fun, to say the least. Chance and I actually got married after we had the baby, just so we can kind of, one, me not be pregnant, and I could enjoy the actual ceremony and pick out a dress that, you know, all those wonderful things that wives look forward to. Yeah, that was great until really it just, I spoke to a psychologist at a certain point just because it had gotten so bad, my thoughts, my depression. And so, again, the story goes to me, basically my husband finding me in a closet, and it just wasn't a good time. So at that point, that's whenever I went to a psychologist, and she wanted to put me on antidepressants, which I agreed to, and that just put me in a downward spiral. Everything just gotten severely worse. And at that point, Chance was just like, you need to just try, you know, it wasn't anything. He wanted me to just, I couldn't even prepare a bowl at that time. Like, he actually had to prepare the bowl so I could smoke the flower. And he was going to start with that, just because edibles, you just don't really know how you're going to respond. And this was not at a time where it was legal, you know, in Oklahoma. So, I was partaking in the black market at that time. Unfortunately, it's scary to say, but thank God I did. Because after that, it was a short period of time where I was just a completely new person. So, based off of that experience going into this second pregnancy, I'm not a daily cannabis user. Once I started responding to cannabis really well, I didn't need a large amount. My levels are pretty stable, after I started. So I didn't necessarily feel the need to have to smoke or take an edible every single day. I'm a pretty active person. Once I was able to kind of get in the swing of things, get a routine down physically and kind of get my mental health back to where it was, I didn't really need to medicate all that often. It was just, I think with hormones, birth control, all those things coming into play, it just really got out of hand. So being able to stabilize that put me in a better place. With this next pregnancy, again, I wasn't medicating very often. But I also realized we're pretty much going to be on track of having another large baby already. the doctor is already, you know, 12 weeks, this baby's the size of 20 weeks. So, and at first, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, okay, well, this baby's going to be bigger than Briar. So, In my mind, I'm just like, okay, well, I need to prepare my body. I did get some nauseous feelings this time. So at first, I didn't want to find out the gender. I wanted to kind of, you know, surprise myself. And with it having sickness and things along those lines, I was like, ooh, maybe this is a little girl. Didn't have any sickness with the baby boy. So kind of, you know, thinking of those things. And so I started taking edibles to kind of help control the nauseous feelings. Up until I want to say 25 weeks, the baby's sitting really low. Briar sat really low, my first child. And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe things are starting to turn, you know, maybe we are starting to have a little boy. Maybe I'm starting to believe I'm having a little boy. So again, this whole time I'm taking edibles, just maybe an edible per day, if not every 2 days. It wasn't any, again, but still, I could tell a huge difference. It helped with my appetite. Once I got to 25 weeks, I was already getting pretty big. My belly was, and it just, my appetite wasn't there. I didn't want to eat anything. I was miserable, and I swell really bad, especially in the heat. I had an August baby, so it was awful being so big during the hottest parts of the summer. So what I found was whenever I would take an edible, especially later on in the day, it would help so much with my hand swelling, the tingling feelings I would get, especially if I was resting. But I would also take some Bison Extracts is a really good company in Oklahoma that makes really good topicals. and they have bath salts and things along those lines that are infused. So it was 250 milligram bath salt that or bath bomb that I could just put in the tub. And after that, it was just like my circulation, everything after I got it out of that bath just helped me sleep so much better. I was relaxed. My feet, I could actually put in my slippers. I mean, I wasn't that swollen. It was amazing. So going off of that experience and being able to control my nauseous feelings was great. And then again, once I got to my 25-week point, that's whenever the pubic symphysis separation really started getting to be pretty agitated. I didn't realize that had happened with my first pregnancy. So the doctor, pretty early on when my second pregnancy, was just like, yeah, you got some separation here. You can kind of feel it, and it's only going to get worse because the baby's only going to get bigger sitting on, you know, that ligament, those muscular ligaments. So it was just taking that into consideration, that because I'm prone to having such large kids, I was pretty much already preparing in my mind. I can't be as active, even squats, walking, things along those lines. You know, one, it's really hard to control my bladder at that point. And two, you know, the separation, just anytime you use your abductor muscles, it just pulls on those muscles. And so that separation will just get worse and worse and create more and more pain. So at the end game, that's where cannabis really came in to help. So yeah, it was cool to control some of the light symptoms with pregnancy and test what's going on there. But man, once that separation really started getting pretty severe, that's whenever, you know, some nights I would actually take a small dab, just because I needed something a little more potent to control that pain. But I didn't do that very often. I did that on the nights that I just couldn't move, basically, my legs. But that bath bomb, the topicals that Bison Extrax makes, also helped with applying directly to that area. So once I had the baby, I thought, oh, it's going to be so great. After being on bed rest for 2 weeks, you know, surely, you know, I've kind of taken good care of my body, and you know, things will just start bouncing back. And the baby actually ended up being smaller than Briar. It was just the fluid retention around the baby that was just making us, you know, assume this is going to be a really, you know, awful but worth it experience.
Yeah. Did you have another C-section this time because of?
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically because they were thinking this is going to be even bigger than Briar. Yeah, let's go ahead and get same doctor. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Same doctor. Luckily, she came into this knowing I had to cut you quite a bit bigger than most other, you know, mothers because the baby is so big. And luckily, she had that kind of incision to go off of with the second pregnancy. But whew, even that scar tissue down there from the first child, that it was good to put that topical solution on just to kind of help with that scar down there, because it would itch, and I mean, you could just tell it was stretching mm-hmm. at the very end of the pregnancy. It got to the point where at the end of the pregnancy it was just unbearable, unless I was taking cannabis, and that was really helping. Mm-hmm. So once we had the baby, man, it was an interesting experience. So C-section went normal. Everything was great. My family was coming in to see the baby, and we were just happy to have him. I was just kind of dazed and out of it. I'm still trying to come out of the anesthesiology, obviously. And it's really funny looking back. It's funny looking back, but it wasn't funny at the time. So my family was looking at the baby, and of course, the baby's still trying to latch on. I still have him to my chest. And I just kind of had this little cough, like just a small cough. And I thought I had peed my pants in the bed. I was just like, oh my gosh, my family just came in here. I just wet the bed. The baby's, what do I do? And then I look under the sheet and it's just all blood. Like blood just, it was terrifying. So yeah. I was just like, this did not happen the first time I had, you know, with my first son. So I just was like, nurse, something is not right, I don't think. I don't know if this is normal. And so she took it out, and once she measured it, I lost about 75% of my blood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I had hemorrhaged severely. They had about 2 minutes to basically get me in and save my life, basically.
Oh, my gosh. They had to
Yeah, so this isn't very common for that to happen after a C-section. So, yeah, it was a terrifying situation. And, of course, I'm just I basically had to, I say, give birth twice because they did not take out the afterbirth, all of it. So she had sewn me up before she had gotten all of that out. And I know this is like really detailed. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, it was, I don't know, it was terrifying. So again, we went back in the room. They're basically prepping my family for what's like, she lost a lot of blood.
Yeah.
If you're not able to, emotionally cope with this right now, I just ask that you step out of the room. We need people to, and I'm just like, seeing that much blood and already still kind of out of it, I'm just like about to fall asleep, faint, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, I just given birth. I had no idea that it was getting that severe mentally. I just wasn't in a good place, to kind of, I guess, process that. And yeah, I remember them rolling out and my mom was kind of freaking out a little bit. Cause it was just it was a scary process. So they took me back and they had to do a DNC, basically to discover that it was, what it was, the afterbirth not fully being completely out. And, thank goodness for blood donors and things along those lines. Had it not been for that, I don't think I would have been here today.
Yeah.
So it was a tough experience, but, after that, everything kind of went back to normal.
Yeah.
As scary as that was, we went back. I was so depressed because I missed the first feeding and all those things. I didn't get to latch him on. He was hungry automatically, so they had to already give him, you know, of course. So they already had him on formula just while I was going into for the procedure. And but that's okay. I mean, as long as he was getting taken care of, that's all I cared for. And so after that, though, this baby was smiling since day one and has not ever stopped smiling. This is the happiest baby I've ever seen. Briar, my first, he was a happy baby, but different. He was happy. He was more just content with life. He wasn't like smiling all the time. Just a normal baby, I guess you would say, with Briar. But Callan, I attribute this all to cannabis. It is the happiest baby. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm not, I try to be as unbiased as possible when I say that. Obviously, all mothers want to think that their babies are happy. And I think Briar was happy. Like I said, he was just content with life. Nothing special. Like, he wasn't just like laughing and smiling and so alert at everything going on around him. But Callan is just so in tune with everything, and he's so happy and it's smiley, and he's never known a stranger, which at some point we're going to have to teach him those things. But right now it's just like, he just loves everybody. He's super healthy, man. There's just, luckily, both my boys are very healthy, but I've never experienced a baby just be so, you know, easygoing. And he hardly ever cries. And if it is, you just know he's hungry. But it's not even a cry. So he's in pain. He hurt himself. Man, it's just a completely different experience, night and day, because Briar was a pretty heavy crier. Especially whenever it came to mommy not being in the room. And I don't know if that was just because there's no other children in the home. It's just adults. So I take those things into consideration too. It's probably, having another child kind of to look around and see. One, it's entertaining. And two, it's kind of you know, I'm comfortable with the fact that I'm not the only small human in this house. So I take those things into consideration, but I really think that this baby is just so, I want to say advanced mm-hmm. and altogether healthy and happy with life. Very easygoing. So it is fun to kind of compare the differences between the two.
Did you have any struggles with postpartum depression after Callan came along? Because I guess you're medicating at that point, so.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, man, that first medication after, it was interesting. I could already tell that my tolerance, one, was impacted, obviously not smoking. I'm not one to say I need to build my tolerance. I need to be able to smoke all day long. That's not the case. But one, I did not deal with postpartum depression at all this time. I will say some sativa strains have kind of created some anxiety for me. So I've learned to kind of keep my distance by medicating with any sativa dominants or hybrids are okay. But I've definitely learned my lesson there because I can tell that my thoughts get a little bit more, they're very intense. I have intense thoughts. They're not depressing thoughts, but it's just, man, just very analytical, breaking down every situation that may have occurred that day or in the past, or just analyzing things altogether. So there is no pattern with how I was thinking, but I just know that I was thinking way too much and it was creating an anxious feeling. So I learned that I couldn't be doing that because that probably would have triggered some depression. I wouldn't recommend a lot of pregnant mothers coming out of, you know, delivering their kid to start medicating with sativas just for that reason. Mm-hmm. I feel like you really start to get into your thoughts. But everybody's different. So it's my recommendation, but that's also my personal experience. So whether that carries over to other mothers, again, everybody's body chemistry is different. So if that's what works for you, if that's what wakes you up in the morning, that's what gets you going. I get that. And some people need that boost. But I was thinking the same thing whenever I was, I need a sativa. I didn't sleep through the night. You know, let's wake me up. Let's get going. And no, that's not the case necessarily. So, but no postpartum depression this round. And the doctors were actually preparing me because I had hemorrhaged, that, you know, having to build up the iron levels back in my blood, I was going to be very exhausted. So I was actually more prone to, you know, getting into a state of severe postpartum depression because I was exhausted. I wasn't going to be able to be sleeping much because I just had a baby. So it was going to be an easier transition to going into postpartum depression as opposed to not experiencing any symptoms at all. Basically, as soon as I got home, we were able to medicate openly. And I told Chance that that's exactly what I wanted to do. I'll take my iron supplements. I didn't, after one day, the day I had my baby, I took, I want to say, two, I think they had me on two schedules for Percocet for the pain. But after that day, after I'd had the baby, I stopped. I didn't take any more medication. So I was able to wean myself off with edibles in the hospital. Obviously, I wasn't going to be smoking in the hospital. But yeah. So I was in the hospital for 3 days. And after day one, I was able to just get off the medicine altogether. So, and they were pretty impressed by that. Yeah. Just because, I mean, they're like, man, you're getting up and moving. And I will never forget, that was because I'd hemorrhaged, they had to do more visits with me to basically push on my stomach, to push everything out. Mm-hmm. And it was, oh my gosh, I hadn't experienced pain like that. And I don't know if I had ever, like the birth, I got past perfectly fine. But the second that I was prone to clotting and bleeding and things along those lines, they wanted to make sure that they got all of it out. So they had to come and push on my stomach, basically with having the C-section and the hemorrhage. Both of those areas are really sensitive. And I just had, they had to, I mean, pull everything out of the vaginal region. So both, I mean, all that is a very tender area. Mm-hmm. So them having to do that, it was a tough go around. So being able to wean myself off of pain medication day one, you know, it was pretty impressive for them to experience anyways. And I was just like, I don't like the way I feel even taking that pain medication day one. I'm still out of it. You know, I'm trying to get back to, you know, being alert and aware and, you know, observing everything about my baby and taking care of him. But I also had to realize I'd gone through two procedures and wasn't sleeping through the night. I mean, they keep it so warm in there, obviously, for the baby. And I understand that, but you can't sleep. You're not comfortable at all until you get home. So, I'll never forget that. That was a pain that I hadn't had in a long time, if I'd ever had that pain ever in my life. But yeah, so.
Were you open with the doctor throughout your pregnancy, like telling her that you're medicating, or did you kind of have to keep it quiet? Cause it is still kind of frowned upon.
Yeah. So, whenever I first discovered I was pregnant, the doctor that had delivered Briar wasn't available. And that freaked me out. So I was absolutely upfront with the doctor that was going to be taking care of me throughout the entire process. So I was open. I told him I own a medical marijuana dispensary and, I don't want to take any Tylenol, ibuprofen or anything along those lines. Zofran to control the nausea. I'm not interested in doing those things. I just, from time to time, I'll take an edible. You don't have to worry about me, you know, over-medicating or taking anything else, you know, because these doctors are under the impression if I'm taking one, like if I'm taking one of an illicit drug that they still have on their forms, they still consider marijuana an illicit drug on their forms, then I'm prone to be taking several other things. So I was like, that's not the case. And he actually has started doing recommendations.
Wow.
Because I kind of opened that door for him. So him and another lady doctor at OU Med do recommendations now. So that was really cool to kind of bridge that gap for them. But at the end of the pregnancy, once I got to week 25, the pain was excruciating. He basically told me he did not have the credentials to do a C-section. So I was like, oh, well, day one, I told you that I had a 10-pound baby. It was a C-section. I would love to try to have him vaginally if that's the case, but I would also like to have things on standby in case I do need that procedure done. That to me is only logical. And he was not credentialed. So I called my doctor and I was like, please, can I just get an appointment for her to look at me? You know, I really trust and loved having her deliver my first, and she knows everything about me, and we're kind of having the same experience and having a pretty big baby again. And she was actually in the room whenever she heard me on the phone, and she's just like, oh, is that Delene Gonzalez? And of course, at that time I wasn't married with my first, so I was like, yeah, it's the same person, and I'd really like for you to come see me. She's like, oh yeah, just come on in, and yeah, we'll make some time for you. And thank goodness, I mean, it was all timing, so I'm so grateful that she did that and took me in, because I was already so scared, because that doctor was just like, no, we're gonna basically have this baby vaginally whether you like it or not. And I'm like, that doesn't make me feel very good. So yeah. And again, this doctor is like, no, you're going to have another C-section. Cause I mean, with the tear and everything else, I mean, you're basically not going to be able to walk for another 6 months after I had the baby. So I was like, okay, well, we'll have another C-section. Let's just get it scheduled. It's what's best for both of us. So yeah. But yeah. And that doctor also did know, I was medicating, cause she's like, change jobs or anything, because, you know, insurance changes and things on those lines. So I was like, yeah, my husband and I actually own a medical marijuana dispensary. And at the time, she's like, oh, pharmaceutical rep, because that's what my husband was doing. And he's like, pharmaceutical rep to marijuana rep. I like it. So, yeah, I was like, yeah, he's selling a different kind of drug now, I guess. So, yeah, it was both of them were open to it. And Yeah, I was scared at first to tell both of them because, you know, everybody's just so terrified they're going to be reported to DHS and there's going to be an open case and they may take your child away. All those scary things, of course, crossed my mind. But at the same time, I just, yeah, like you said, I just embraced it and was very open because what if something does go wrong and they don't have the fact that you were medicating with marijuana? And what if that actually did impact things? Even if there's a small chance, they need to know those things. So I'm not a very good liar anyways. If people ask me those questions, I'm going to be up front, especially if it concerns the health of me and my child. Mm-hmm. So yeah, had no issue disclosing that information, was fully prepared for the doctor that delivered Briar to just say, no, I'm not going to deliver your baby if you're medicating with marijuana. I think all mothers basically are pretty much like, I'll tell them, but I don't want them to stop helping me, you know? So for all the mothers out there, I hope that one, they're upfront with their doctors about it, but if they are fearful that a doctor is going to stop treating them, there are plenty of doctors out there that will help, that will step in and be happy to care for them. And I have a lot of contacts if women are in that situation. In Oklahoma, that is. Anywhere else, I'd be happy to do my due diligence and research it for them. But I do hope that a lot of mothers take that into consideration whenever they are in a scared place mentally, especially if they're pregnant and scared to lose care. I'm sure there's other just as qualified doctors that know more about cannabis use and will be happy to deliver their baby and not worry about those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're in a legal state, it's probably good to be upfront with your doctor. But if you're in a state like Texas where it's not legal, I would be a little worried about telling my doctor because you wind up with CPS in your life.
Exactly. I'm so spoiled in that because I forget that there's still states that don't.
Yeah, there's still 17 of us out here with ridiculous.
So if you are in a legal state, I should correct that. I'd be happy to help. But you should probably still be concerned if you're unfortunately in a state that frowns upon that. So yeah.
Man. Now your pubic separation that you had, what is the normal method of treating that? Maybe for moms who are not in a legal state, do they just have to suck it up and deal with it, or is there some sort of pharmaceutical medicine that they usually give them for that pain?
Yeah, they do a low dose. I want to say one of them impacts the blood differently between the ibuprofen and the Tylenol. There's one of them that they will recommend you can take at the end of pregnancy, not so much at the very beginning. But at the beginning, it's not that bad. It's pretty tolerable. But at the end of the game, you are allowed to take something for the pain. And I'm pretty sure it was Tylenol, but I just kind of was like, no, I'm not taking anything. I'll just medicate naturally and do something natural, apply topicals or, you know, anything that will help me control it. But yeah, that's pretty much what they recommended. And they were also saying, you know, after 6 months after, you pretty much can't be active at all because it takes so much time for one, my iron levels to build up, and two, this separation to kind of heal. And I still, I'm a pretty active individual. So whenever I exercise, I can definitely tell that there's still some pulls, like some movements that I will do that really pull that area. So I try to one, avoid it, but it's inevitable that some things are just going to keep, it's going to be sensitive still for a while.
Yeah. Now, do they do drug testing in Oklahoma? Cause I know in some states, they'll just automatically take your baby and drug test them after they're born. So do they do that in Oklahoma? And then what happens now when they pop for THC?
They didn't do it on me, but they may have had some levels show up in a UA, but they also knew I was already medicating with it, so they didn't address it at that time. They could have ran my UA. I mean, I pee in a cup. Every visit you go to see the doctor, you pee in a cup. If you have a scheduled C-section, you pee in a cup again. And of course, they have two IVs in you, so you're just constantly peeing before you go back and get a C-section. So all those things are ran through testing just to make sure all your levels are good before you go back. And So I'm sure things came up on the testing, but I was transparent and upfront about it. So nobody ever came and actually said, hey, what is this doing in your system? Because this is going to be in your baby system. And, you know, Callan, actually, I do also recall this that I'd like to disclose. So Briar, whenever he was born, he's crying right out of the gate. Obviously, most babies are. Callan, he just kind of did a few little yells, and that was it. Just like a, oh, I'm in the world. Okay, here we are. And that was it. And they just put him on me, and he just calmed down. It was the craziest thing. It was like, well, this is a quiet baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he wasn't even like, he was just super chill from day one.
That's awesome. Do you have any resources or books or studies that you would refer people to who are interested in using cannabis during pregnancy and want to research it? Because a lot of people just research the heck out of things.
Yeah. And so there's a lady that I connected with, and she does Sweet Jane Magazine. She is actually out of Kansas, where it's not legal also. Well, I don't know if it wasn't legal at the time. Things have been changing so rapidly. I don't know if the Kansas market has opened up or not. She started this magazine, and she's actually been surrounding herself with a lot of other mothers who have been medicating. And instead of, so yeah, I've done research and I know my own body, and basically that knowledge has helped me with medicating and know my limits as far as how much I should be doing, what method. But seeing other mothers and doing that kind of research, I guess, and seeing how those mothers medicated and what they preferred whenever they were having their baby and seeing their experiences, that to me was more relatable than reading scientific articles about what could or potentially couldn't happen. Because, again, there some of these scientific articles are so biased, whether it's positive or negative. And you just have to be careful about the studies that they do, who's funding those scientific articles and research. Because, yeah, I did a lot of research with my first. Just, I mean, what do I expect? things along those lines. But this time it was just like, well, if I did medicate with cannabis, who did this? How did they respond? Was the baby okay? You know, it was much more relatable, and I could apply it to my actual experience as opposed to just reading tons and tons of research. So I think making it more of a community event, seeing these other mothers medicating was inspiring, one, because they have the same concerns I do, and seeing their experience and how they medicated. Some are smoking, some are still taking their dabs, some are still applying. That's where the topicals came in. Because I was just like, why didn't I think about that? You know, I had topicals. Why didn't I think about
applying it to the air? You sell them for crying out loud.
Exactly. And I never thought, like, I should just apply it to the area. Even the scar tissue, you know, I didn't feel as much pulling. So I was like, man, these things, some aromatherapy, the tinctures that people were applying, I was getting a lot of headaches at the end of it. So applying those topicals to my temporal region was really beneficial. And that was just all that I've seen other mothers do. So that magazine, if I could ever connect you with somebody who has spoke with a lot of women, men too, but I mean, the Sweet Jane magazine is predominantly women involved in the cannabis space. And she just has made a lot of contacts nationwide. And I think that would be a really good place for other mothers expecting or mothers that are medicating now with children. It's a really good community to kind of see how everybody's responding, and it's really inspiring too. There's no judgment. Obviously we're all in the same boat, but it's just really cool to see. And that's really what I just started doing, is who else is doing this? Cause I know I'm not the only one. But also in Oklahoma, it's still a touchy subject. When people are asking, are you medicating? Are you not? I'm in a lot of secret groups on Facebook that I see those kinds of posts, and I'm like, man, I'm absolutely open about the fact that, yeah, I medicated. I wasn't smoking, but that was for personal reasons. If you're smoking, there's nothing, I don't have anything against that. Of course, vaping might be something that I, you know, would want to do more research on. That's probably the only market with the scare with coronavirus and, you know, breathing issues, the vapes, you know, the quality of the vapes that you're buying, things on those lines. All of that needs to come into play, I think, before you make those kinds of decisions. But whenever you're just smoking or directly inhaling the flower, things on those lines, you do, one, need to make sure that your source is medicinal. I think making those judgments yourself for whenever you're medicating for you and your child, those are probably the things that you should consider going into it. But I know my sources and, you know, with testing being required and things on those lines, I did fine. And the edibles were fine. Yeah. I do know that some of these mothers may not have access to clean, super clean products. So if you are going to medicate with cannabis, I would highly recommend you know the source and you trust that source.
Yeah.
Before, yeah. That's probably my only reservation by standing by the fact that I medicated, as I do know it was medicinal. It was a medicinal product. And making sure you vet those products is what I would absolutely stand by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess you have a little bit of an advantage as a dispensary owner that you know where that product comes from, and you guys make sure you put out a good quality product on your shelves.
Exactly. We grow, and we've surrounded ourselves with really good processors. They're just on the front lines of everything. They're doing really great with their marketing and having really good clean processes to make their quality product. It's not just about the product. So how are you extracting? How are you, you know, maintaining your lab and things along those lines? I support everybody in their business venture, but if you take it upon yourself to go the extra mile for sanitization, vetting your quality, your, you know, things along those lines, then I have a much higher respect for you. And one, two, I'll stand by your product, and three, I'll implement it in my own daily, just because I know you've done so much yourself. I'm vetting products as well because I'm selling them, you know. So for us, it's a two-step process. So it's easy for us to kind of come into the game, or me go into the game, becoming, you know, pregnant, that, you know, I'll have good medicinal product to utilize and implement in my pregnancy.
Well, if there's anybody in Oklahoma listening, why don't you go ahead and plug your dispensary and your grow operation? Where can folks find you?
Sadly, I wish we were still on Facebook. We probably created 3 or 4 pages. So it would be Oklahoma Roots LLC on Facebook if it's still up. OKRoots.com. I'm sorry, it's Oklahoma-Roots.com. We changed it after the lawsuit. So, yeah, there was that situation. So it's Oklahoma-Roots.com. And our grow is Oklahoma Roots Cannabis Company. And that page has been taken down. So sadly, I wish there was a lot of places that we could advertise. But we're doing okay as far as getting our names out there just by word of mouth. Obviously, we stock our dispensary 100% with our flower. So we were just voted favorite dispensary in Shawnee. So
that's
it's really cool. So people stand by our product and like our product. It's just a matter of, when can we start really marketing on a large scale as far as social media? Because that's probably the easiest source, the quickest source, and the cheapest source to advertise. But we are on Weed Maps, our Oklahoma Roots dispensary is. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Where are y'all located, the dispensary?
We're located in Shawnee, right by Black Hawk Casino on Harrison Street.
Well, Delene, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this subject and being open about it, because it is still looked down upon by, you know, even in states where it's legal, it's still frowned upon because, you know, they say, well, we don't have the studies, you know. So I appreciate you coming on and talking about this. I think it's an important thing for people to be aware of and for moms to be fully informed, and then they can make a decision as to what they want to do and what's best for their bodies. So really appreciate you just being open and honest with me and the listeners.
Absolutely. I'm always honored to to be a part of your podcast. I love speaking with you, and I love what you're doing with your podcast. You brought on some pretty big people that have a pretty big influence in the cannabis space, so I can appreciate what you're doing and respect what you're doing for sure.
Well, we're just hoping to get the word out and destigmatize it, because I'm in Texas and people still don't have access to medicine that they need. They're still having to go to the black market, and it's a crapshoot as to what you're going to get as far as quality, whether they use pesticides, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, we got to change it so that people have access to clean medicine and exactly. Whatever else they want to use it for.
Yeah, exactly. Right now it's for me to keep saying in everyday life these days. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you just said. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will put links if the Oklahoma Roots Facebook page still exists. I'll put links to that on the show notes page for today, and then also link to the Sweet Jane Mag. And if you get a link for Mommy Me and THC, I'll put that up as well.
Okay, cool. I'm actually doing a wholesale, so you can do Canna XOK. That is my wholesale distribution company, where you can find all tested product that has COIs and everything ready to go, with all the companies I list for everybody as certificate of insurance, product liability. So it's safe, it's clean, and it'll move off the shelf once a dispensary will buy it.
Yeah,
so
that's great. That's good to hear. Well, I'll put a link to that as well. And again, appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. And I love seeing pictures of the boys. Like you said, Cal just looks so happy. He's just smiling from ear to ear in every picture. Of course, you know, no moms post pictures of the kids crying, but but he does. He looks like such a happy baby. And Briar just looks like a great big brother. He seems like he's really taking on that job wholeheartedly.
He is. Oh, it's the best to watch those two boys. I mean, they're the best of friends. So I'm lucky to be able to be here and enjoy that. And yeah, but thank you so much for having me, Rachel. I really enjoy talking to you. And man, I can already see that your podcast has impacted people and will continue to do so. And I'm so glad to be a part of that.
Well, I appreciate it, Delene. I appreciate you coming on and telling your first story and now continuing with it. And
yeah.
And wish you all the best in everything that you and your husband are doing. I think I love being able to be able to refer people to folks like you, that I know that this isn't just a money grab for you guys. You guys really care about patients and care about the best for people that you're serving.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yep. Thanks, Delene. We'll see you later.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Show notes for today's episode can be found out at CannabisHealsMe.com/108. We will be back here on Thursday, and I'm going to be talking to a cannabis doula. So we're going to continue with this theme of cannabis use during pregnancy and get a little more information from someone who deals with this on a regular basis. So we'll be back here on Thursday. Hope you guys will join us. Until then, have a great week. Hit the subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode of the Cannabis Heals Me podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or whatever podcast app you're using. Do you have a suggestion for a guest on Cannabis Heals Me? Send an email to podcast@cannabishealsme.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please do not take any information from Cannabis Heals Me or its guests as medical advice. Contact your licensed physician before taking cannabis or using it for medical treatments.